Okay. So let's start if that's okay. For the a big Hakara Satov to the Leibowitz family and to Vir for hosting. Woo! It's so nice. I get to see many of you sometimes during the year, and it's been, you know, for some of you it's been a few weeks, it's been a couple months of Baruch Hashem. It's good to be able to learn again over the spring. Although it still feels like winter outside, but slowly. What I wanted to do is, and I'll tell you where I was inspired with the idea from. There's, you know, a major challenge that exists in the world today. You know, there are schools that debate. You know, what are the topics that you teach? We're talking about a curriculum. We're talking about your curriculum. You make a decision of what you're going to focus on, and the question is, do you teach tefillah? Now, why am I asking this question? I'm asking this question because is tefillah something that can even be taught? So, what do you, you know, if you were, let's say, a minahelas of a high school, right? Forget elementary school for now, high school. And you had to decide what, oh, wow. If you had to decide... Sorry, the worst. Only the two worst seats are available. That's it. When you come late, you're stuck with the two worst seats in the house. So there you go. That's what happens. would you decide to teach as a subject the subject called tefillah? Yes, no. Why yes? Why no? What would you? I want to hear from the audience. What would you say? Would you teach tefillah, yes or no? And more importantly, why? Yes, why?
Yeah, I think you should, because to have, even if like it doesn't affect them at the moment, like future, like to have certain kavanas when you daven, you know, just
say. So you're saying that what should be spent doing?
The, like, areas of tefillah, like to go inside and like, from each
title. Meaning, what's the theme of this tefillah? What's the message around this tefillah? Okay, yeah.
I'm just adding, whatever, like, how could you not? Like, even if you're saying it's hard to, because this tefillah is really between you and Hashem or whatever it is, like, there's definitely things that you could talk about it that could make people's tefillahs better, and, like, what you're just not going to talk about, and they're going to have good tefillahs. Like, how are they going to learn? How are they going to.
Okay, good. Anyone else want to say something? Has been said? Yeah?
You don't like just the halachos of it? Like, even I'm still confused about, like, sometimes, like, when, like, can I stand, can I sit, what if I'm sick? Like, just, like, halacha aspects of it, I think you could do.
Okay, you could do? Okay. Like, yavo, first day Rosh Chodesh, second day Rosh Chodesh, right? Okay, but there's, like, few, yeah.
No, I was just going to say, like, proof enough that I think we need it is that we're all here. Because, like, obviously...
That's because you would bug you to come. No, just kidding.
No, obviously, like, it's, like, a pretty, like, lofty... It's a pretty lofty experience, tefillah, so... Gotta somehow... Yeah. I guess the question really is, like, right, because it's such a... Because it's so lofty, can you actually give it over?
Right.
But I think, yeah, the more you know, the better you are.
Okay, fair. If you've been at all...
This is all just adding on to everybody else's, but, like, the hashgachos behind it, and that, let's say, somebody doesn't, like, understand what the words specifically mean, even if, like, it's not translating the entire davening, but certain brachos or certain tefillos that, like, they could, like, take something else from or, like, add their own tefillos to or, like, things like that, just so that the people are aware of it versus just reading the Hebrew or even if they want to read the English text but, like, not actually know anything that they're saying.
Right. Okay. Okay, good. Yeah, and last but not least. Yeah.
I could say, like, for, like, somebody who doesn't really, like, who's, like, starting to really apply what Judaism is in their life, it could be, like, a step one as to who Hashem is or, like, how to connect to Him. And that could be, like, most, like, the foundation of it. So then it would have, like, something to look back at to and then just kind of follow Hashem.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Someone published a book by Sings from Rav Soloveitchik, And in here, there's a section, I think it holds the book, so I had to go to like Google, Amazon, and get like copies of the book that I wanted, so I had to get a small snippet. But in here, he writes something which to me is absolutely fascinating. And I'm going to read to you a quote of what he says. And he said the following. There's much that I studied about the days of Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. I've discussed the constant days with my late father, who was my Rebbe, my teacher. You know, I've lectured on halacha and agadah and philosophical nature of these days to my congregants, my talmid, and my colleagues. I have manuscripts that talk about these things. Nevertheless, my true understanding of these days is shaped by my childhood experiences, which I must constantly recall from my distant past. My joyful spirit is revived when these memories once again become tangible. Only then can I supplicate to the Kadosh Baruch Hu and pour out my uneasy soul to Him. At that moment, I feel that the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam hovers over me in the image of the pleasurable smile of my beloved mother. And he goes on to say that he had a very colder relationship with his father. Those of you that know the brisker world, it wasn't one. His father never ever said to him that he loved him. Never actually ever embraced him. And when his son left to come to America, he just shook his hand and said, that was it. And he left and he never returned to see his father. But yet, when he talks about what he learned from his mother, he speaks in totally different language. I spent a lot of time on this, but he said he's written a lot, but we learned from his mother, we learned from his father, and his mother passed away much younger. And so the day of the yurt of his mother, he would talk about this in great detail. But what he would often focus on is that, let me actually read to you what he says here about America. He says, what is our greatest need in America? By the way, this is 1960s. This is not like last week, right? 1960s, I don't remember the exact year. I think it was in the late 60s. No. What's our greatest need in America? We have to feel this nearness to God. We have to experience God's presence. It is not enough to eat matzah, but to have the experience of the mitzvah, which not only study Torah, but we should actually experience it as a great drama and redeeming act which purges the personality. That is exactly what is lacking in the United States. You know, what used to be something which you would experience, right, was the experience of a tefillah. They would say that if you're, you know, if your machzor wasn't wet on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there was a problem with your neshama. Now, if you see someone crying in shul, you look at them like they're weird. Did someone step on their foot? Right? Nebuch, do they suffer from a terrible disease? Right? So the world that we live in today, and it's what's fascinating, especially, and you know, we can be stereotypical, right? For whatever reason, especially when it comes to men, for women don't have the same problem that men do, right? If you take a look at who stands as the paradigm, the example of tefillah in Chumash, with maybe one exception, as we'll see, it's often women. It's who is the person that we learn a lot of the halachos from, of course? It's Chana, right? Who knows that, right? Right. And who misunderstands her?
The man.
Get used to it, right? Okay, but what we see here is that if you know, the eshpoch es nafshi lifnei Hashem, right? The notion of having a daughter. Now, it probably starts, and this is going to be my other topic, but it might be even more complicated. We'll do another time. But we've forgotten to talk about God. We don't talk about eshbarchu, right? And if you take a look, you know, yes, there's eshkafa classes, but there's around the table. Conversations we've forgotten. You know, we're so something we spent a lot of time. And by the way, men have much worse than women, huh, right? They might talk about a blood gemara, but they don't talk about Hashem Baruch Hu, right? Where is God and who is God and what does God look like and what does it mean to be part of Bnei Yisrael? You know, what does it mean part of be charge of the chosen people? Racist? Not. What does it mean and what's our mission and what's our purpose and what are we celebrating? We excited about and where do we see Yad Hashem? And all these things sometimes. They fall by the wayside. And so really one of my, what I wanted to and I, this is the Berditchever And those are that know me. No, I'm not. I don't always quote a lot of Hasidus, but there are a few stories that I really. That's not good. I wish I knew more. I just don't know more. But the Bereditchever, they say there's a story that he once gathered all the everybody to the town square. He told everyone to come. You know, Tuesday, 8 p.m. Everyone must come. And the Bereditchever said something. You listen. You can't ask why. He's a rebbe. You can't ask. You can't ask the rebbe why he doesn't. You go. And everyone was like, what's going on? What's the big deal? Like, what's he going to tell us? What's the meeting about? And everyone's gathered. They're very, very nervous, right? Like, what's he going to say? And he gathers everyone together, and he, you know, and he chuckles like a rebbe. But Ditchever looks at them all, and he says, don't forget, God exists. And that was the end of the conversation. You know, and sometimes we get so caught up in so many areas. You know, that's why I was joking. You know, I'm not saying they're not important. Of course they're important. But sometimes we forget the most basic thing about tefillah is dal difnei mi ata omed. Right? That it's all doing about having a conversation with the Ribono Shel Olam. And, you know, and I think sometimes that needs to be often at the focus of whatever we do. And so what I want to do is I want to try, and we'll see if this works or not, is I want to use certain words, definitions, and concepts when it comes to tefillah and see if it can help us in appreciating tefillah more. And doing this also, by the way, for myself, because, you know, women have it very easy in a certain way and have it more difficult than other ways. You know, men have it a little bit more challenging in terms of we put a greater emphasis on the tefillah b'tzibur, but some of the tefillah b'tzibur is the greatest tragedy of davening. Right? You know, I get to shul at 6:30 in the morning, and if I get there at 6:32, then I'm like, ashrei. Not quite. But, you know, like, things move very quickly. Now, by the way, there's also, I get it, and I feel it. When I have carpool, right, and you're like schwitzen, right, because you got to get out. I mean, I'm sure my son would like if I came late. You know what I mean? He would be very upset. He'd be very happy if I would, you know, come a few minutes later to give more time to sleep in. But there's our pressures in the morning, right? There's nothing like when you wake up in the morning for many months of the year and it's very dark outside. And the last thing, should I get up earlier and daven now? I get daven at 11 o'clock, you know what I mean? In the hello, right? That has an advantage sometimes. I get it. It makes sense, right? And everyone knows the worst thing to do, the worst, is like davening on like the TTC, right? That's like a disaster, right? There's nothing worse than that, right? That's like, you know, minus Kavana 101. But that's reality, right? The reality is, and I think it's very important, to have a meaningful, sincere tefillah, 90% of the time, it's not realistic, for better or for worse. That you will, I think you're going to set up the fail. I think. I'm happy to, you know, be proven wrong. Yeah.
What would be better, to like say your own words and really like connect to Hashem, or just like say the
tefillah? Right. It's a great question, right? And you, by the way, you're going to see there's going to be that tension. Here's what's amazing, right? Is that the tension that exists between what do I want to do and what I want to say and how can I say it, right? By the way, if you take a look historically, that's exactly what the Hasidim a couple hundred years ago were saying. Forget Zmanim. We're so bogged down with the Siddur and the text, we're forgetting about God. I mean, right?
Or like, even to say it in English.
Right, even say it in English. Right. We all know, it happens all the time. How did I get to Yerushalayim Yercha? I thought it was just that. Wasn't it just that, like, Avos, right? Like, 2 seconds. How did I get to Yerushalayim? I mean, how did I get to Yerushalayim, right? See, if you daven by Yerushalayim, okay? So you can daven right here. You see Yerushalayim, right? You know, everyone says I daven at the Koso. My basement, I daven at the Koso, right? In some wall somewhere in my basement. Something. So I think, and this is something that. Just as a strategy, I want to really go back and forth between, you know, practical too and strategies. And so one thing I know that I think can sometimes be helpful is to be like, listen, Tuesday morning when I have a job or I have class at 8:30, that might not be the wanting to highlight. But sometimes, if I know that on a Wednesday I don't have class, or I'm not rushing out to a job, or I can start a little bit later, sometimes that could be a good tefillah to focus on. You know what? That one I'm going to really try and read a couple paragraphs in English. Right? Or one of the halukas, I'm going to go back, say one line, and look at the English. Even Ashrei, which we've all... Ashrei... You can say it, we sound like a parrot, right? Like it's mamash a bit, right? Right? But, wait a second. Ashrei is very interesting, because what's the Gadol Hashem, Umhulam O'od? What are we saying here? Ve'dula so inchik, right? We say a lot of these words. What's the difference between Halalu and Haluluka and Shabachi, right? What's the difference in these words, right? There has to be a difference between them. Oh, you know. So even to think of a question to ask and to kind of look it up, and today, there's so and the resources today are unbelievable, right? It's worthwhile. But that's Tehillim, that's Tanakh. Easy to find resources on, right? You know, why is it we say, you know, I don't know, Hodul Hashem? Why are we saying Hodul Hashem? I love the Kiruv Yishmael. Everyone know when that was said, by the way? Why are we saying Hodul Hashem and Kiruv Yishmael? Why is Az Yashir in Psukkot Zimra? Isn't Psukkot Zimra like Tehillim? So why are we saying Hodul Hashem? That's not Tehillim. Hodul Hashem was said by David Melech when he brought the Mishkan to Yerushalayim. Why are we saying that? And why is Az Yashir in... That's like a little bit like... It's not Pesach today, right? Or next week, or last week, which my wife is very happy about sometimes, right? But why are we saying that? Like, what is the Pesach de Zimra? But isn't as Yashir Eshira? Zimira and Eshira, right? So what's the even the structure? And you'll see there's tremendous. And they're not forget the deep Kabbalistic. There's actually a phenomenal. Right? It's not that complicated, right? As Yashir, you know what's interesting? I'll just say right now. It's totally off topic, right? But it. Why they include Az Yashir in... First of all, Az Yashir was added a little bit later. That's why, if you're running late, those are one of the things that... gone, right? It happens. But you know what they instituted Az Yashir? Because Az Yashir... What does Az Yashir end with? First of all, it's similar to Shira. Shira and Zimra are similar. But what does it end with? Hashem Eloch Olam Vod. Then what do we say afterwards? Yishtabach Shim Chalad Malkeinu. The idea is that what? Everybody in the world will join you in Yishtabach Shimcha Lad Malkeinu. That it's not supposed to be Halleluka, the Shir is supposed to be individualized. You're supposed to ultimately have a collective, unified notion of recognizing the greatness of Hashem Baruch Hu together. But that hasn't happened yet. Hashem Yimloch, that's not, it's in the future. It's an unredeemed, unfulfilled that we're hopeful, we long for, we yearn for, right? That's the, but it's supposed to be from, it's to come from that. Hopefully what I'm doing is not just to have an effect on me, but it's actually to impact the entire world around me. That's what we yearn for and hope for. Now that's the, we decided to institute as Yashir because it hasn't happened yet, it's in the future, it will happen. Okay, there's a lot more to say there, but that's the short idea. But let's take a look, and this is what I want to, let's look at a few more quotes here for now. I want to make a hard stop at 9:30, so if we don't finish, we don't finish. We'll always pick it up next week. So number one, what's fascinating is, if you take a look in Chumash, what Onkelus translates, the Pasuk of, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es Adam afar min Adama, Vayipach b'apav nishmas chayim, Vayi Adam lenefesh chaya. So Hashem forges man from the dust of the earth, right, because by the way, we're from the dust of the earth. You know, there are two types of Musar movements that existed. There was the Slobodka. The Slobodka was the Alter Mikelm, and he always emphasized Godlus Adam. They were always dressed very nicely. He spoke about Gadlus Adam, the majesty of human beings, the greatness of human beings, right? You're exalted, you're special, you're unique, you don't do those things. That's beneath you, right? You're an Adam, you're a human being, you have a nefesh, you have a soul, you have a ruach, you have a good spirit, right? You're exalted Adam. There's other type of Muslim movement, which was the antithetical to Slobodka, which was called? Nevardak. Very good. And Nevardak said the opposite. You're nothing! You're gurnished! When you die, maggots are in your body. You, who do you think you are? You're a nobody. You're going to be eaten, right? And this was the struggle, right? What do you speak about? Do you speak about Galus Adam? Or do you speak about Anochi Afar Vefer? So my Rosh Yeshiva always used to say, in the modern world, you focus on Galus Adam. You speak about how exalted people are, how incredible people are, how your majesty, look at you, you're so much different, and you have the ability, your potential is incredible, and you're a unique person, you can contribute so much, and look at the incredible accomplishments that human beings, yes, they can be disruptive, but look at the incredible accomplishments that human beings can be if they choose to, right? Someone just told me, you know, Satmar stopped saying Kiddush Levana because they put the flag of Israel on the moon. It's a bad joke. Right? But what I'm trying to say is that human beings, they can go to the moon, right? Right? Human beings have an ability to go to the moon. They have an ability to soar above the world that we live in, right? We don't just see ourselves as trapped. We're not just ants like in a laboratory, but we have an ability to do incredible, incredible things. And that's the Galus Adam. And look how Onkelos translates Nefesh Chaya. But what makes us different than an animal? Right? Our hardware is the exact same. In fact, our hardware is even worse. Right? Animals can run faster than us. They can jump better than us. Right? You know, they have much greater abilities in terms of the physical world. What makes us unique from animals is not our physical being. It's not our flesh and blood. For that, in fact, we're quite inferior. Right? In fact, we're so inferior, we need to wear clothing because we're cold. Right? No animal says, I'm freezing cold. Somehow they, I don't know, like... I mean, listen, if they live like in a Jewish house, so people knit them sweaters and stuff like that, right? But generally speaking, animals, except for like Mufi and Poofy, you knit them sweaters. But generally speaking, animals, they can survive? Right? The moment most animals are born, they become independent. Most 27-year-old men are not independent. They're not. They still need their mothers. They need, right? It's very different. It takes a long time for human beings, as you know, for babies, they're totally dependent upon their mothers for many, many, many years. Sometimes too many years. Especially if they're Jewish, then Jewish mothers sometimes want their kids. You know? But an animal is totally different. Look how Uncle Luz translates this phrase. How do you translate Nefesh Chaya? Ruach v'malala. What word does it sound like to you? So, if you take a look at how does Unkelos define a human being, Nefesh Chaya is Ruach. Ruach is translating which word? Isn't it fascinating, right? It's Li Ruach, so it's Li Nefesh. And Chaya, what does life mean? Mimala, so that comes the word to speak, to utter, right? Mimala. Right? The ability to speak, to pronounce. That what makes a human being so unique and special, that we have an ability to speak. And I'm not saying communicate, it's very different. Animals communicate and humans communicate. Sometimes humans communicate by grunting too, just like animals. But our ability to have precise diction, the concept to speak about emotions and ideas and dreams and aspirations, right? That an animal cannot do. But we as human beings have an ability to use speech that is absolutely transformative. Right? By the way, I'm not saying it can be negative too. But the ability of have speech. Speech is a unique human characteristic. Right? To communicate when your emotions, all types of emotions, ideas, dreams, concepts. By the way, the idea of even producing art, we have to understand this. The idea of doing something which doesn't have practical purpose is something only humans do. Animals only deal with survival. Humans deal with the sense of majesty, of beauty. You don't need a beautiful picture on a wall. You need a picture on a wall for it. You just need so it doesn't rain on you. No, that's not good enough for a human being. We want beauty, we want majesty, right? Right? Food. Like, you know, you get popcorn. Sweet popcorn, sour popcorn. Sweet and sour popcorn. Sweet, sour, with a little bit of spice popcorn, with chocolate and nuts all mixed in, right? It's not practical. You don't need that. Just give me, I don't know, mush, right? No. Jewish mother put mush on the table as a boo, right? It can't be. Why? It's not practical. There's something, but there's something beautiful about that. Because a human being is exalted. We want, we like the color and the savory smells and the taste. And again, speech is something. We can communicate things that aren't even necessarily practical. I think that's a tremendous ability. The root word of, if you had to translate the word, now this is why, that's why I wrote the top, I intentionally didn't refer to the top of the page to right now. I titled it, A Good Jew Never Prays. And the reason why I specifically wrote that is because the word pray is not a Jewish word. I mean, that's obvious because it's English. But what, anyone know where the word pray comes from? Yeah, oh yeah, so that's true. But anyone know where the word pray comes from? What's the etymology of the word pray? I don't expect anyone to know this. I didn't know this, so I looked it up. But the word pray actually in Old French means to beg. It means to beg. Now, I'm not saying there aren't bakashos in tefillah. There are. But it's very different. And that's the beauty of root words. And that's what I wanted to focus on today until, you know, I got a little bit off topic. But let's take a look at the first root word of the word tefillah. What does the word lehispalel? So I'm sure you've heard this before, right? What's the root word of lehispalel? Comes from? Pilel. What does pilel mean? Don't tell me elephant. That's a bad joke. Thanks for laughing. Right? Also, either because of humor. No cat tells jokes. Maybe rabbi shouldn't tell jokes either. But you know what I mean? There's no, even humor, what do you need humor for? And the Gemara says that a good, you start the divrei b'chuta, right? But anyone know the word tefillah? What's the root word of tefillah? Anyone want to know? Someone knows this.
I'm just playing. Learn
this. But this is not easy. This is not. If you didn't learn this, it's not good enough. This is not one of those things that like I can figure out by. Okay, so the root word of tefillah is pilel. What's a pilel? So take a look at Chumash. You know words. Try Chumash. Shmos. Source 3. How in the world does that do with tefillah? We'll get there. V'chi yinatzu anashim v'nagafu isha hara v'yatzu yiladeha v'lo ye'asam. So it's talking about a very difficult situation where two men are fighting, and unfortunately they hit a woman who was pregnant, and unfortunately she had a miscarriage. Anosh yanesh is a punishment, is a type of recourse that you have to calculate. Kasher yashis alav bal ha'isha v'nasan, and in our case this is what I actually care about, Biflilim. The word biflilim, you hear that? Comes from the word te, is the same word as tefillah. And you're like, no, it doesn't. There's two lamas and there's one lamad. But you have to know Ivrit. In Ivrit, if there's a dagesh in a letter, what does that mean? There should have been two of them. Very good. So two lamads put together has a dagesh and a lamad, and that's the same thing. So that's why sometimes this is what's complicated. Sometimes two letters together can be part of a word, sometimes not. Huh? So in this case, biflilim is very similar to the word tefillah. But it's the different, the root word is the same, but they're,
conjugated.
What? Conjugated. It's conjugated differently. Thank you. I'll explain what I mean in a second. Take a look at what the word tefillah mean. Comes along the Gemara in source 4. And says, let me translate Chumash first. How would you translate? You know, Chumash, simple. How do you translate Vinasan Biflilim? You give what?
Payment.
How in the world? Very good.
How
in the world is Biflilim payment? Why doesn't it say Mama and what? You know what it means? Why is it Biflilim? Because Biflilim means calculation. There's some type of calculation that has to be done. Like a cheshbon. Right? And how do I know this? The Gemara in source 4, just go to the last line, just so it'll save us time. Ve'ein pilila ela dayanim. There's no pilat ever. As it says, it's not pilat. Meaning the judges have to make some type of calculation. How do you figure out the money? Right? Some type of cheshbon, of calculation of how much is owed. The second source that is the word tefillah is found in 5. Fayomer Yisrael el Yosef. Who's Yisrael?
Yaakov.
Ra'o fanecha lo filalti. V'nehera usi elokim gamet zarecha. What does this mean? Let's translate. Yaakov turns to Yisrael and says, Ra'o fanecha, your face, what? Lo filalti. What does lo filalti mean? I didn't? Okay, calculate. That makes sense, right? And now Hashem has showed me what? Your, not just you, but also your children. Rashi. Lo filalti. Lo mileini libi lachshov machshava shire panecha od. Filalti. Lashon machshava. Thought. I would have never thought. I would have calculated. I would never thought. I would have my wildest dreams. I would have never thought, figured out that what? I would ever see you, let alone your children. That's why when we talk about tefillah, it's all about thought. Meaning, the primary function of davening, of tefillah, is about thinking, contemplation. This you for sure learned before. So when we say hispalel, how do you say to get dressed in Hebrew? Hitlabesh. Lahadish. You get yourself dressed. So when you say, Ani mispalel, you're paleling. But you're getting yourself dressed, you are thinking about yourself. Making calculations. Right? The idea of being mispalel is nothing about begging. It's all about looking at yourself and actually contemplating, who am I? What am I? What am I here for? And that's why the emphasis, at least in the Amidah, is about asking for things that you need. Because what do you need? What are your priorities? What do you care about? That often defines who you are. What's important to me? What's meaningful to me? What's helpful to me? What do I really need? And why do I need that? These are... That's what tefillah really, and who's the address? That is, of course, the master of the universe. And that's Hashem Baruch Hu. So that's the beauty of it, is that when you recognize that your source of all your needs are not yourself or a parent, right? But Hashem Baruch Hu, that's an unbelievable thing. Did you recognize it? What do you say? It's not to me. It's at the end of the day, I can do what I can do, and at the end of the day, it's not up to me. And that, first of all, it's very scary. Very scary, very daunting. But on the other hand, you have direct, you know those red telephones? You have a direct line. Right? So go to Shborcha. Hashem is the Shomei Tefillah. That's what we say. Baruch Ata Hashem, Shomei Tefillah. But you know what's interesting? Nusos Sfarad, Ki Ata Shomei Tefillas Ko Peh. Baruch Ata Hashem Shomei Tefillah. Nusach Ashkenaz, Ki Ata Shomei Tefillas Amcha Yisrael Barachamim. Machlokes Nusach. By the way, so the whole thing, the difference in Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfarad. Fascinating. Kiddusha is different. We got Smach Parkane. What's the arguments between them? And they were big arguments. Right? Big. Okay, but not for now. But that is the idea of everyone agrees Hashem is Shomei Tefillah. The question is, what about Kopeh? Nosos Sfarad says Kopeh. Kopeh means universal. Nosos Ashkenaz, I'm Chayisov Barachamim. No tells Kopeh. Interesting. Why is that? That's a. I just wanted to. So the idea of that tefillah is supposed to be reflexive. It's supposed to be a contemplation. It's supposed. And that's why, if you take a look in Hasidic thought, it's take an hour to actually think about who you're talking to, why you're doing it, where are you, what do you need, what do you want, what's important, what's a priority, not mumble, flip, 3 steps back, 3 steps forward, I'm done. Some people think Aleinu L'Shabeach is Tfilas HaDerech. It's said while you're like halfway on where you're going next, right? Right? As you're walking out, right? To pack your bag. We all laugh because we all do it, right? How do you say Aleinu? As you put away the sitters, they walk out of the base mattress, it's just the way it goes, right? Right? But Aleinu is not Tfilas HaDerech. People get confused. I love the joke. It was my favorite jokes of all time. Because it's like, because everyone knows it's true and it's funny, and it's like, yeah. But you should know, I think I did this once. This is not something to do. I did this once for, in high school, when I taught in high school. I mean, I still teach in high school, but I can't do this in high school that I teach at. I teach a class of Chad. So there's, I think, 293, I don't know why I remember that. I think it's like 293 words in Aleinu. I think I, all right? So you ask somebody to read a poem that's 293 words and you time it, right? And it takes, you know, read a poem of 200. Okay, the less familiar with it, or even it's a famous poem, right? You say, you know, that took you, you know, 3 minutes. Aleinu has said that in 26 seconds, right? Right? It's just a. So again, it's a. Sometimes that's why less is often better. Less is often better. I really believe that is true. You know, sometimes to accomplish everything in the sitter, it's just not. There's no point. Why say every Hallelujah? Say the three most important ones, slower, read a little bit of the English, and that's it, right? I don't even want to ask women saying Tachanun. I know, I think women say Tachanun. I didn't even know that. Women don't say Tachanun. They say do.
The
Torah
says that women don't say Tachanun.
What was that? Okay. Right. The reason, by the way, Tachanun is Rishus, which is why on many occasions we don't say it. It's not a Chovah. That's what we Paskin. That's why, for example, if there's a Simcha, we don't say, oh, there's a Simcha. No Shema today. No, we don't say that. But, right? Some people think that, but that's not actually the case. But again, Tachanun is also something which is a disaster. Sometimes it's much better. Camps struggle with this very much, right? Especially in the camp. Okay, upset or maybe, see, if you're in high school and you have all day, and the opposite, we want a dozen, but we want more davening. Why? Because there's chemistry after davening. So the longer we daven, the more the better it is, right? Rabbi, I didn't finish. I'm in the middle of Ashrei. Line by line, like, you know, Kol Nidre, or Nila, right? Line by line, Ashrei. Right? You said Ashrei Shacharis in 10 seconds because it's breakfast afterwards. But Mincha Ashrei is like Nila, you know, right? When there's a chemistry after class, okay. So, but I'm joking. But there's, but you know, it's listen, it's human nature. So in a when you're in an environment, no one here's in an environment anymore, right? Even people who are you're taking classes online, so you still there's still you know, it's not,
yeah.
There you go. Putting that to the what I want to do is, and I want to stick to the source here. And I'm sure here's a struggle. Jump down to. My makor l'tefillah. Go down to the bottom of page one, just for a second. Because what's the source for davening? I'll tell you why. What's the example of the first... It's right there on this paper. The example of the first time a person davenes in Chumash is? I want to say where it says in Chumash or davening, not like the Medrash says he wanted rain and he cried. Chumash davening. First example is? Brilliant. Unbelievable. Right? But I want... But you're going to appreciate now the tension of tefillah and of davening based on this. Watch. Listen to this. V'ata hashev es eshes aish ki navihu. V'ispala ba'atcha. My eyes, I don't know what is with me. V'chye. V'im encha meshiv da kimos tamuz ata v'chol asher lach. What is the context? What is going on in Chumash in the 20th chapter? Very good. Kind of. Ish. In Perek.
The other one?
Yes. Who's the other one?
Abimelech.
Very good. Abimelech. Right? Sister Act 2 is what I like to call it. Right? What happened was that there was terrible, there was a plague that hit. And so when there was a plague that hit, they turned, and what did they say? Return the Ish. Return this lady because she's really married. Because he's a Navi. By the way, what does a Navi mean?
Prophet.
Okay, what does a prophet mean?
Prophet.
Very good. Peace to Hashem? Very good. Excellent. Don't tell me the wrong answer is can tell the future. It's like a disaster. Can't tell the future. No one can tell the future because we know the future. The future is undecided. We can change the future, right? So when, if Hashem tells Yirmiyahu to tell the people, he says, if you continue this way, this is what's going to happen. That's all Hashem says. Hashem, tell Yirmiyahu, tell the people, if you continue doing bad, kaboom. Which makes Yirmiyahu not popular.
Y'all, doesn't Hashem know what you're going to do for you?
No, of course not. Maybe. Okay. That's, but the Hashem doesn't live in time, right? So today, tomorrow, and yesterday are all the same. So but look at this Navi. What does Avi Malo say? V'yispala badcha. He will daven. What do you mean he'll daven for you? Why will he daven for you? Why can't you daven for yourself? Answer: it appears that the notion of being a Navi, of someone who was spiritual, religious, I hate the word spiritual, right? Was a person that can connect. Because remember, you could connect to Hashem Baruch Hu. They were experts. They were experts. And when did you do it? Not on a routine, but special occasions, special moments. Because if Hashem doesn't answer, you're basically going to die. You're doomsday. And here is what the challenge is when it comes to davening. It's much better to daven when I feel a need, as opposed to when I have to. Because anything done by rote, anything which is done because it has to be done, is not very effective. Is it? Daven now. Why don't I daven now? Daven to God. I want to speak to God in my own terms. Right? And you're going to see throughout all thought on davening is going to exist this tension. How much me? How much God? How much my own creativity? How much my own individual personalized versus no? This time, this place. By the way, that would be the tension in many ways in Chassidim and Misnagdim. Chassidim wanted to break that mold. Don't daven at 7 o'clock. I need an hour to prepare. And when I feel like it, then I will. Then more time, I guess. Right? But, right? And by the way, don't bound me to a time, because that's limiting. Let me daven mincha at 11 p.m. Because that's when, right? I mean, and even in Chumash, when it comes to Avraham, maybe not everyone was made to daven. There's only the Navi that has that ability or that. But Chazal see it differently. Yeah.
Question. So here is like it's telling, no, you should daven through the Navi. So just like tell the Navi to like talk to Hashem.
Yes, you would think that, hey, I did something wrong. What should I do to fix it? God, I'm going to stop. But no, speak to the Navi, he'll speak to God for you.
But it kind of like puts the person down, too. And be like, why would I try to like really...
Right, exactly, exactly. Meaning, it's not default to every person. We all can't do it. It's only, you have to be a specialist. You have to be a doctrine specialist.
That's wrong.
Right. It could be that it's wrong, but there's definitely that perception. By the way, you have to appreciate this. Why is it that people went to the Rebbe to daven? Because I can't accomplish what the Rebbe can accomplish in davening. So if I eat a tish with him, if I eat a Friday night meal at 11 o'clock, he's su'ud the Shabbos and much greater. I can't accomplish what he can accomplish. So if I piggyback on him, I can accomplish much more. So why should I... Why should I talk to God? Have the Rebbe talk to God. Have Avraham talk to God. He's Avraham. Meaning, there's something, right, that there's something terrifying about speaking to Rosh Baruch Hu. Who am I? You know, who am I? You can't even speak to Trudeau if you want to. And who's Trudeau? He has nice hair. Right? That's about it. Right? So you can't, and you're going to think you can talk to God? Like, imagine, like, if an ant, right? Imagine an ant wants to talk to you. An ant wants to talk to you. You step on an ant. What's an ant? It's nothing, right? What's an ant? So that's the gap between the human being and Kadosh Baruch Hu in many ways. Yet, Hashem says, tefillah. As we'll see in the next source. Meaning, despite the incredible gap, which is almost infinite, nonetheless, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, we can still have a relationship. We can still rendezvous. You can still talk to me. We can still communicate. Even though rationally, and by the way, this is one of the greatest paradox, one of the greatest tensions in Yahadus is this idea that on one hand, our Kodesh Baruch Hu is so distant, yet he's so close. And Tefillah emphasizes that. And what we'll... And maybe there's this notion that not everyone can even do it, right? That you have to practice, right? And that's what, and that's what source number 9 is. What is minolan b'tefillah? How do we know that we're supposed to have this idea of davin? It says in Chumash, la'avas Hashem elokechem, you should love Hashem your God, u'lavdoser b'chol levavchem. Which means you're going to serve him b'chol levavchem. What's in avodah shehi balev? Omer zot tefillah, but it's an avoda. It takes effort. It is not anything which is important in life is difficult. Davening is difficult. Of course, it's difficult because it's important. Is chemistry difficult? Because it's important. I mean, you know, maybe, right? but anything which, you know, are relationships difficult? Of course they are because they're important. So of course, davening is difficult. Rabbi, I'm not feeling it. Of course you're not feeling it, because it's difficult, and it takes time. And today is so much easier. The resources today on davening are... I grew up, I don't know what else, I grew up in Bathurst Manor. Parents, yeah, okay, some people have connections to Bathurst Manor right there, right? Not the young people around the table. Bathurst Manor is like north of Clanton Park, south of like... a lot of empty land with cemeteries in north of Finch, right? Exactly. It was near East Charlotte, where near East Charlotte used to be, way back when, at Finch and Wilmington. So that's where I grew up, right? And, you know, it was the sidurim that was used. You know, my father over Shalom took a sidur from the shul. It's because he was no such father, no such father. And I have it in my house today. It's not even lined up. Like the letters aren't even in a row. Like they're like up and down the I and the lamed. Right? That's what he is. Today, it's unbelievable what the resources are out there today that are so thoughtful. Right? If anyone's really looking, there's an incredible introduction. Rabbi Sachs, it's an amazing introduction to Siddur, to Tefillah, that I highly recommend. I don't care what level you're on. I don't care, you know, Beis Yaakov or public school. It is an unbelievable introduction to davening. It's really, it's a beautiful, and there's so many like that. This is 9:29. I want to end in 2 minutes. Okay, said we'll pick up this up for Kabbalah next week. But I think, and let me show you the tension that exists. And by the way, living with tension, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I think it's very healthy. Right? There aren't always, you know, resolutions and resolve. We live in, you know, we have to, that's the kind of world that we live in. But I'm going to show you this tension that exists even in reciting a simple bracha. Look what we do. So baruch. What's baruch? So I have it here. The word baruch comes from the word bracha. What's bracha? Go back to source 7. When you say you want to give a bracha to somebody, what does that mean? It's a spring. So what's a spring?
Source.
It's a source of something. By the way, you know it's beautiful. This is so beautiful. Lashon HaKodesh. It's really amazing. Bracha is beis reish with a... Chav. Gematria, it's 2. 200. 20. I.e. double. You have a bracha, you want them to exponentially grow. So a bracha of children, parnasa, money, marks, right? Whatever it is, okay? That's an increase of. How do you say ni in Hebrew? Berkayim. Oh my goodness, berkayim and bracha. It sounds the same. Why is berkayim berkayim? Because it's a massive joint. It gives you greater movement, like an increase of movement. If you didn't have knees, you'd all look very funny. You'd be very stiff. If your knee hurts you and you can't walk, all of a sudden, you don't have the ability to... So again, knees give you an ability to increase your movement. Right? Because the word bracha is an increase of something. Right? You have one, you want two. You have two, you want four. You want four, you want... Right? I'll stop there. Right? So the word, when you want to give someone a bracha, that's what it means. It's an increase in something. Should we say baruch? What are you doing when you say the word baruch? You're blessed. How do you bless God? How can I bless God? That's the most ridiculous, preposterous idea in the world. So by me reciting a bracha over popcorn, I'm into this thing that I want to buy. I thought I had one, an air popper. I turned it on, and after 30 seconds, it died. I said, okay, it was just me. I tried. Over the course of a night, if you do kernels and do that, you just burn everything. So it's a total disaster. So I go, I'm going to buy an air popper. It's my snack. I don't know why. I think I want to do it. But it's healthy. It's a good snack. But why am I saying this? Because when I make a bracha over popcorn, I say baruch. By making a bracha, I am increasing God's presence in my life, in your life, if I say it out loud, if I'm with people, right? I'm more cognizant, right? People who are more cognizant of the world around them, hopefully, are better people. They're better people. If I'm aware of God's presence more, that hopefully impacts my behavior and how I speak, what I say and what I don't say. Do I open the door for somebody? Do I open the door for somebody? Am I polite? Am I not polite? Right? Do I... So, ata. Now, when you say ata in English, how do you say ata? Is? You. I just said you. Hey, you. I just called God you. That's very arrogant. But I do it anyways. Well, you do it too. We do it. Right? Baruch ata. I want to increase you or your. Blessed you. But now, when we feel we want to get closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we actually realize we're pretty far. We thought we were close, and then what happens? Baruch atah, Hashem is even... Sorry, I jumped. Hashem is even closer, because it's not impersonal. We'll come back to this a little bit later. But Hashem is God's real... It's the only real name of God. Is Yud-Kei, followed by Vav, and followed by Hey at the end. But it's the only... Every other name of God is just a kinui. It's just a... nickname is a better word to use. Right? Only proper name. It's like saying God's real name, right? You know, Rachel. Rina. Right? Proper name. But then once you get, so it's you, the name, even closer, right? We don't know the closest. You call someone by their name, they feel you're much closer to them. But when you feel very close to Baruch Hu, you realize that you're distant. Elokeinu, Melech Haolam. So, Elokeinu, again, does have a personal dimension to it. Our God, but it's not me, it's our. And then, even more distant, it's not just our, maybe it's referring to the street, the neighborhood, the shul, I don't know, the world, Jews, right? Melech Haolam, entire universe. So we see that even in reciting a bracha, you know, we want to increase, now why? Increase God's presence, God's knowledge, being aware, being cognizant of Kadosh Baruch Hu, hopefully will enhance the way we think, the way we feel, the way we behave, and have an impact on what we do and in our daily lives. Okay, let's end there for today. And there's Hashem. Not next week. Next week I'm doing like a 36-hour like a fundraising thing, so I can't do it next week. But there's Hashem, 2 weeks. We'll pick it up. What day of the week is it? Tuesday. Oh, it makes it easier for me. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. As we increase north, we increase. Okay, I'll stop. He's a joker. Thank you, everybody.